We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be my listeners? All right. Hey, it's a great Thursday afternoon, and we are inching closer to the weekend. LSU and Georgia in the SEC Championship game in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. That's Saturday. And then Sunday afternoon, kickoff at noon, the Saints and the 49ers in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. We'll talk a little bit about that today, but we will really focus on that on the show tomorrow. You know, once again, Lakeview has been the target of numerous car burglaries. And there was a video on the news last night of this woman and her husband watching their car get broken into. And they didn't want to go out and do anything because they were afraid of what might happen. And I know that everybody has a different take on how to handle that situation. But, you know, you have to handle those situations the way you feel most comfortable. And some of you can handle it one way. Others want to handle it another way. So I don't judge people for handling the situation the way they feel like they need to handle it. But, you know, it's just really disheartening how acceptable all this has become. We're not going to get seriously into this today, but I can't help but comment on this. Because it's a daily thing now. And then you've got the woman. Did you see the video of the woman? There were two teenage girls that carjacked this woman's SUV. She jumped on the hood of the vehicle. And she's like clinging to both of the sides of the windows. Clinging to it as these two little punk thug girls drive off in the car. And a neighbor took video of part of it and called 911 and it looked like they were trying to shake her off and they didn't. I think the girls got away. Is that what happened? The girls got away? I'm not really sure what happened, but the woman was not injured, which is good. But you've got teenage girls carjacking a car. Again, let's just repeat that this is all due to a lack of guidance by parents and by a community. It is a learned behavior. You and I learn to respect other people's property. Too many people are taught not to respect other people's property. Whether it's car burglaries or these teenage girls trying to steal this woman's car, the carjackings, the armed robberies, it's like the new norm. And there have always been dishonest people in the world. But you can't tell me it's not getting worse. And you also can't tell me that it's not happening more and more with young people. So very, very disheartening. On a real positive note, I love what they're going to do with Clearview Mall. It's going to become the Clearview City Center. Apartments, hotel, outdoor concert venue. I know Target, Bed Bath & Beyond, and the movie theaters at Clearview are going to stay. And they're going to build this. It's kind of like an urban area. They've done this in other cities. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, there were people on the Jefferson Parish Council that wanted to do something similar to this in the Fat City area. But that never materialized. I don't know. Maybe it still will materialize one day. But there are areas in suburbs of big cities where they have created sort of an urban-type environment in terms of everything being close. You know, the apartments there, the movie theaters there, their cafes and bistros and coffee shops and bars and restaurants and all of this stuff in this one area. So it's kind of like creating an urban environment in the suburbs. So I think that's really going to be a very positive thing for Clearview Shopping Center. And if you haven't heard, the crew of Orpheus has announced their 2020 celebrity lineup, and Academy Award nominee Bryan Cranston is going to reign as monarch of the crew of Orpheus. And you know, that is one hell of a parade and one hell of a party after. Bryan Cranston, been in so many shows. Breaking Bad. He was the dad on Malcolm in the Middle, which I thought was a funny show. Also, he played Tim Watley, the dentist on Seinfeld. That was that whole episode about being an anti-dentite, being opposed to dentists. You know, and Kramer thought the jury was against dentists. And then there was like talk about, you know, one day they're going to even have, you know, schools just for dentists. Well, of course they do. Anyway, the parade, Crew of Orpheus, is Lundi Gras. It is the Monday night before Mardi Gras. And that was usually a time to rest, but not anymore. It is a time to party. And speaking of partying, this is the time of year for the office holiday party. Is your company having an office holiday party? You know, the Me Too movement caused some companies to cancel the office holiday party. But it seems that this year, the holiday party is making a comeback. Be honest. Did you ever say or do anything embarrassing at an office holiday party? I remember that episode of Seinfeld where Elaine danced. Oh, a text that says Bryan Cranston is in town right now filming a series called Your Honor. Nice to know. I'm sure Bryan has better things to do than to listen to this show. But Bryan, hey, if you're listening, welcome to New Orleans and look forward to hanging out with you when the crew of Orpheus is in town and when you are a part of that fiasco. I mean, it's a good fiasco, but it's a fiasco. So here's my question about the office party. If the office holiday party is not at the workplace, if it's not at your office, if it's not at the business, if it's at a separate location, should the office holiday party be subject to the same HR rules that cover the workplace on a daily basis? For example, should you be able to flirt with a coworker if you're having a couple of beverages at the office party, if it is away from the office? We're going to talk about this a little later. It's just it's an interesting dilemma. Because I think technically the HR department, the human resources department, the rules about sexual harassment, all of that stuff extend to the holiday party. And if it's not on the site of the business, then I don't think that should happen. I mean, I think that should be an open party where you've got adults. Maybe there's somebody that you know kind of like in the workplace. And, you know, you might want to, I don't know, kind of hit on them a little bit. They're all adults, right? I mean, what would stop two people from leaving work and going out to a bar and then ending up in bed together? I'm not recommending that you do that, but that could happen. So, you know, for me, the office holiday party, if it is not at the site of the business, I think it should be open territory. The animated special Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is sexist, it's racist, it's homophobic, it's the story that exploits workers. Yes, there is criticism of this classic Christmas story. Based on today's standards, people have found a lot wrong with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We're going to talk about that in the next hour, and I think the big question is, should classic stories be judged by current day standards? And if you say yes, then there are a whole lot of shows on in reruns that should not be allowed on in reruns. Okay, so there was this big announcement on Capitol Hill. Nancy Pelosi called on the House to draft articles of impeachment against President Trump. We'll bring you some highlights of that. Yeah, you know, we do have to cover this. And if you want to talk about it, if you've got comments or opinion, you can call our show. I'll be giving out the number. But we'll talk about Nancy Pelosi's announcement. We'll also talk about the GOP response to that. And also this hour, I want to address First Lady Melania Trump bashed a witness at the impeachment hearings for bringing up the name of their son, Barron. Are the children of presidents and celebrities fair game for the media? All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, Scoot, are you anti-dentite? I am not anti-dentite. In fact, I went to the dentist the other day. I'm very much pro-dentist because I'm very much pro, you know, I want, you know, nice teeth and I want my mouth to be taken care of. So I would say that I'm very pro-dentist. I know it's going to cause some of you to judge me, but hey, I don't care. I'm Scoot, and we will be back on WWL. All right, so a lot of people believe that the whole impeachment hearings are a big mistake, and they will help President Trump in his reelection bid in 2020. That could be. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi earlier today called on the House to draft articles of impeachment against President Trump. This is not all we're going to talk about today, but this is a big deal in the history of our country. So regardless of how it turns out, let's go ahead and cover this. Here was Nancy Pelosi earlier today when she made the statement asking for the House to take action.
Today, I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary.
And Nancy Pelosi went on to talk about what she considers to be the facts.
The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security by withholding military aid and crucial Oval Office meeting in exchange for an announcement of an investigation into his political rival.
Yeah, of course, she was reading that. Seemed kind of stiff at times. Anyway, Nancy Pelosi is very concerned about, well, we're a republic, but she's very concerned about our democracy.
Our democracy is what is at stake. The president leaves us no choice but to act because he is trying to corrupt once again the election for his own benefit. The president has engaged in abuse of power, undermining our national security and jeopardizing the integrity of our elections.
Now, does Nancy Pelosi hate President Trump?
Do you hate the president, Madam Speaker? Because
I don't hate anybody.
And it was House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy who sort of had a response, and he talked about the timeline that the Democrats seem to have, and this started a while back.
So why are we going through this nightmare? It goes back to the very first day after the election. They had a goal. They wrote a timeline.
And McCarthy also talked about how Alexander Hamilton might have felt about all this.
Alexander Hamilton, founding father, was concerned and warned us that this day could come. History will look back today, and it'll be a sad day.
Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, talked about the obsession of the Democrats.
We've argued that American families deserve better than this partisan paralysis, where Democrats literally obsess over impeachment and obstruct everything else.
And Republican Lindsey Graham, Senator from South Carolina, he talked about the four law professors that testified.
Mueller, I trusted. I don't trust Schiff. I don't trust Nadler to find the truth. And the speaker said it should be bipartisan. It should be prayerful. It should be thoughtful.
All right. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. You know, it is important for you to know that we are following this story. It's not something that we're going to focus on every day, but there are going to be peaks and valleys. And when there's an important time to talk about it, we'll address it on the show. And you're always free to call in and talk about it. Also, I want to address this hour, First Lady Melania Trump bashing a witness at the impeachment hearings for bringing up the name of their son, Barron. And essentially, she said President Trump can name his son Barron, but can't make him a baron. And the First Lady was very critical. The witness has now apologized for bringing up his name. But the point is, she brought up his name. Here's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Poll question. Are the children of presidents and celebrities fair game for the media? And you can give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. The fact that the president and the first lady have a son and the president has children, that is part of the conversation. But the children themselves are not part of the conversation. And I'm glad this woman apologized because she should not have brought up the president's son's name. And she should not have made that comment, which was a negative comment suggesting that, well, he can be born with this name, but he can't live up to his name. Or, I mean, that's the way I took it. To me, that's offsides. Just leave the kids alone. Maybe we need to get somebody to redo that song. Instead of "Hey Teacher," "Hey Media," leave those kids alone. Song from Pink Floyd. I think it's offsides. And by the way, before you think this is a liberal thing, you know, let's remember the conservatives and the Republicans that attacked Sasha and Malia, Trump's kids. His teenage daughters were at the, one year they were at the ceremony in the Rose Garden where they pardoned the turkeys right before Thanksgiving. And Republicans and conservatives condemned them, criticized the parents, and condemned those teenagers because they were dressed like teenagers. And some people thought that was really inappropriate. Why is it inappropriate for a teenager to dress like a teenager? Why is it inappropriate for teenagers in the White House to be teenagers? And I thought that was wrong. The children of politicians and celebrities, unless they are involved. You know, if they're involved in, for example, Ivanka, she's involved in the presidency. So she's fair game. Tiffany, that other cute Trump daughter, she's not involved in it, so she's not fair game. And Barron, their son, is not fair game. All right, if you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. For Metairie, Daniel, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot, thanks. One, about the children thing, do you remember the old movie, The First Kid with Sinbad?
No, I remember seeing when I remember seeing that it came out, and I always thought it looked good, but I never saw it. So tell me about it.
Well, that wasn't my main thing I want to talk about, but just a funny movie about he's his personal, Secret Service agent, and this kid, he got to go to school with him, and it's just funny because he doesn't do anything wrong, but it's just a funny family comedy and shed some light, you know, from a Hollywood standpoint. But yeah, I agree with you about unless the kids do something to put themselves in the public spotlight, leave them alone.
I agree.
But you had a question before we went to break about viewing historical, like older books through a modern lens and criticizing.
Well, mainly older. I mean, books, I guess you could say any form of entertainment, but mainly television shows. I don't know that it's fair to judge past TV shows and past classics by the standards we have today, because if that were the case, a lot of shows would not be on in reruns.
Right. And I think you could apply that obviously to literature. And there's C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien were big on the concept of what was called chronological snobbery.
Chronological snobbery?
Which basically meant what we think in our current society is superior than whatever was going on in previous societies. And they basically were criticizing how the Renaissance criticized the Dark Ages for saying, well, what we're thinking about is better than anything that's ever happened before. And I think you could apply that to when you read literature or watch TV shows and think about it, what was happening in that era and in that time, right? And I think words, for example, like Mark Twain, right? He uses the N-word and other words that are obviously inappropriate, but it doesn't mean you couldn't read those books because of what they're saying. And other books, for example, the word gay meant merry and happy, so they had a, quote, gay time. Well, people could get offended because it says, oh, well, what does that imply? Well, it implies something completely different than what you think about that word is today.
It's a good point, Daniel. So, and I mean, I think about the use of the word gay in the TV theme for the Flintstones. You'll have a gay old time.
Right.
Well, it was a different meaning when the Flintstones came out than it has today.
And in fact, I encourage any people to, you know, read the old books and think about what was going on while those books or while the music, obviously you're big music, when music was written, what the message was. And clearly people's message, they're trying to get something across at that time. So I think that we always want to be careful what we view or approve in modern day society just because there was a faux pas or something that was identified in a movie, a TV show, a song, or a book from the 1950s, doesn't mean that it's inappropriate or shouldn't be read or watched or entertained.
Yeah, Daniel, you bring up a really interesting point. I appreciate the call. I love when we just start to expand topics beyond the original the original topic, and we'll talk more about this next hour. We'll also talk to a clinical forensic psychologist about the analysis, the negative analysis of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer being very inappropriate because it doesn't live up to today's standards. You know, when I think about the literature that's been criticized, the book Huck Finn has been criticized because it contains the N-word. And when Mark Twain wrote that, the N-word was quite often used. It was commonplace to use that. To wipe out the N-word in Huckleberry Finn is to suggest that that didn't happen. And so as hard as it is to read that, as hard as it is to hear it, is it not important to understand that that was acceptable at the time? And by reading Huck Finn, by leaving that word in the context of the story, it only makes us realize how inappropriate it is to use that word today. All right, if you want to join us with your comments, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Yes, it is the holiday season, and later in the show we'll be talking about the holiday office party. Should the holiday office party be subject to HR rules when it comes to flirting with coworkers, or, maybe you end up making out with somebody? Is that something that should extend to the office holiday party, if the office holiday party is away from the office? All right, we'll get into that a little bit later. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back. This is WWL. You know, let the kids be kids. I believe the kids of politicians and celebrities are really offsides. I've got a text here that says, look what they did to Chelsea Clint about her looks. That was really unfair. I mean, Chelsea was bashed. And what did she do? She didn't ask to be put in that position. She was born. She was born to a mother and father who were in politics, and her father became president. The same thing with Barron Trump, the son of the president and the first lady. He didn't ask to be put in this position. He was thrust into it because his dad won the election. And so I think the kids should be offsides. And we're talking about a tweet that Melania sent out after Pamela Carlin was one of the professors that testified yesterday. She's a Stanford University law professor. And she was asked by somebody on the panel during the impeachment hearing yesterday to describe the difference between a U.S. president and a king. And that's when she brought up 13-year-old Barron's name. She said the president can name his son Barron, but he can't make him a baron. And Melania tweeted her and said, a minor child deserves privacy. You should be ashamed. And I agree with that. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. From Baton Rouge, Keith, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to our show.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Scoot.
Hey, Keith.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I wanted to comment on the impeachment proceeding. Is that okay?
Okay, sure.
Yes, I'm an attorney, and I'm also a philosopher. And so what I want the people who are listening to your show to realize is that nothing basically can proceed without the notion of truth being implied. Everyone from the Republican to the Democratic Party, they're talking about facts. But all facts must be realized under the penumbra of truth. So for anyone to make any type of argument, whether it's inductive or deductive, they must come up with a definition regarding truth. A fact is nothing without a concept. And a concept is nothing unless it's understood. And since we're using human language to try to define what reality is, then we need to have two things stipulated to. What is the definition of truth? And what is your understanding of truth? And until we get to that, we're going to have what we have here. 400 years ago, the people who considered themselves to be white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, called themselves the forefathers of this nation, thought that what they were doing was right. And now we no longer have slavery.
That's
so we
right.
need to have a definition of what is truth and what our understanding of that is as we go through human language. As an attorney, when you give an argument, you must have it confide or conform to what the rules and the regulations are. So for the Republican Party to argue that this is too fast in terms of how we're proceeding, that's total disingenuosity. This man has, since he got into office, has been under so much scrutiny for everything that he's done, starting with trying to defy what the intelligence community told him about Russia. So how can we sit here and say that this man should not be impeached when Mueller's report even says that he was obstructing justice? And he told us that he can't make the impeachment decision. That's the call of the Congress. Congress has the right, according to the Constitution, to bring up these impeachment proceedings. In a trial, you can never say that it's right because you have eight witnesses as opposed to one. What's implied is, what is your understanding of truth? And what is your understanding of the concept of the facts and the concepts of the law?
Well,
therefore, any other argument that we're going to make is basically frivolous and disingenuous. Yeah.
And you know, Keith, I talk about this often because it ends up being part of everyday conversation, at least on this show, because what is lacking is a definition of truth. What is lacking is a definition of facts. We should be all allowed to have our opinions, but we can't make something a fact if it's not a fact. We can't say something is true if it's not true. And in a civilized society, there should be some understanding of the facts, and you can interpret those facts differently, but facts are facts, and truth is truth. But in the world today, facts and truth are defined by political ideology. And if we don't have a common denominator of an understanding of facts and truth, then we have a problem. And right now, we have a problem. Here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Poll question. Are the children of presidents and celebrities fair game for the media? 86% say no. 14% say yes. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. From Slidell, Jennifer, welcome to WWL.
Hi. I just have a comment on the whole impeachment and the kids. First off, leave the kids out of it. They're children. They don't have any knowledge of what's going on. It shows her lack of respect and decorum. Second of all, this impeachment process is a joke. They've been trying to impeach him since he was elected. The day after he was elected, they started trying to impeach him. Like,
well, I understand that, Jennifer, and that's an unfortunate trend that we have in this country. I mean, there was talk about impeaching Obama. It wasn't as intense as it is with President Trump, but if somebody is going to try to impeach you, look, let's be honest. If you decide to get into politics, the other side is going to do whatever they can to destroy you. That's part of the game of politics. You know, I mean, the San Francisco 49ers are going to do all they can to defeat us. And we have to be prepared as a football team. Our team needs to be prepared to deal with that and not give them an opportunity to beat us. And so when you're president of the United States, you're under great scrutiny and you need to expect that somebody's going to try to take you down.
My point was they've done nothing else. Like,
that's not true.
There's other things,
Jennifer,
in this country
not true.
That we should be worrying about.
Not true. Not true. I'm sorry, but that's fake news. Not true. There's plenty going on. You don't see it. It's not on the news. But there's plenty of going on. They're dealing with legislation. They're having other committee meetings. There's plenty going on. But as we talk about quite often on this show, the news focuses on the things that it believes will get your attention. And some of the other stuff with dealing with legislation is boring and people aren't going to care about it. This is a big deal. For both sides, it's a big deal. And so that's why it gets attention.
I just think there's other things that we should be worrying about.
Well, you can worry about whatever you want to worry about. Nobody's telling you not to worry about things. And I would hope that, you know, look, here's what the politicians do. They worry about what they think we're worried about. And so we have to voice our opinion as citizens about the things that we think are important. But just trust, Jennifer, that there's a lot going on in Washington. There's a lot going on. This is not the only thing that's happening. And some people seem to have this impression that this is all they're doing. No, this is not all they're doing. Here's a text that says the children of politicians and celebrities should be off the table unless their children are part of the government. I agree. Made that point just a moment ago. The president's daughter and his son-in-law, they're part of the administration. They are subject to a criticism. But their teenage son is not. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870. Text is 870-870. I just think when it comes to politicians and celebrities, if their kids are not part of the act, then leave the kids alone. All right, he is 87 years old today, and he claims he invented rock and roll. We'll tell you who that is coming up next on WWL. That is Little Richard, and Little Richard's birthday is today. Little Richard is 87 years old today, and he has claimed for many, many years that he invented rock and roll. He was certainly one of the early contributors to rock and roll, but I don't know that he really invented it. Tutti Frutti. Kind of an appropriate song for Little Richard, I guess. Quite a character, though. He was wearing makeup before a lot of the guys in the 80s were wearing a guy liner and mascara. In fact, you know, you realize if he would have been born in Southwest Louisiana, he'd be Little Richard. Little Richard. Tutti Frutti, Cher. All right, I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. From New Orleans, Pimbrose, you're on WWL.
Yes. Are we so intellectually bankrupt that we do not understand that that was not an attack on Barron? That was an example between the power of a king and a president. Why can't we see that?
Well, you have a right to see it your way, and others have a right to see it their way. I don't think you bring up the name. I don't think it was a direct attack on Barron. I don't. But I don't think you even bring up the name.
No, it was not even an indirect attack on Barron.
You don't bring up his name. She was wrong for bringing up his name.
No. Why you can't bring up his name? What's wrong with that?
She was wrong. In my opinion, she was wrong for bringing up his name.
Well, yeah, well, everybody got an opinion. I know that.
Okay.
And everybody got something else, too.
Well, yeah, and I guess you have to wonder whose is the biggest. You can have the opinion that it doesn't really matter. And by the way, for the call we had just a moment ago, House Democrats have passed nearly 400 bills. Since, as of November 15th, the House has passed nearly 400 bills, not including resolutions. And the House Democratic and Policy Communications Committee believes that about 80% of those bills have hit a roadblock in the Senate because Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will not bring them up. He won't even consider them. So we do have stalemate. And the Democrats do it, and the Republicans do it. So whichever side you're on, stop acting like your side is the golden child and your side is righteous because your side doesn't do it, because we have gridlock because of Republicans and Democrats. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.